go out and do something for your democracy is the point. You can't just like, you have to act in the world to change the world. You can't, words don't matter that much.
Democracy's a verb. Put it on a bumper sticker.
Democracy's a verb. Isn't that on our website?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure. Didn't we come up with that?
What up, world? Welcome to episode 76. Oh, shit.
America number.
America. If you really want to be America, you should right now stop this episode, go back and listen to episode number 17, and then come back and listen to episode 76. 76.
Yo, I think that's the Mueller episode.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
We were also supposed to have a party on this episode, but we're definitely failing.
Isn't it a party?
That's episode 100. Fuck it.
All right. We're pushing the party back to episode 100, you guys.
I feel like it's a party every time.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Every day is a party in your life, isn't it?
Well, every day is a party when I get to hang out with you guys.
Aww. Ooh, touche. All right. Well, that lovely complimenting voice is John Anderson.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And out on the West Coast, we've got Tyler Grillo. What's up?
What's going on?
And we have a probably nothing too weedsy or, uneventful, but we're going to talk about the Cohen testimony that happened yesterday, maybe speculate as of to what is going on with the Cohen testimony today behind closed doors. And then we're going to talk about, the Vietnam summit and the craziness of our president and who he decides to agree with and take advice from these days.
If you guys couldn't see it, I just did an epic eye roll. Also, just side note, episode number 17 was Save Us Robert Mueller, You're Our Only Hope.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Is that
the one where we mispronounced his name the whole time? Nice.
Yeah, that's the one where we mispronounced his name the entire time.
Sorry, listeners. We were like Bueller joking it the whole time.
Yeah,
and then
totally.
We just never stopped.
We were wrong. Sorry.
So I wonder if they're actually going. So there was some speculation last week if they were going to wrap up the investigation this week. Have you all heard about that?
It seems like it is getting the chatter around it coming out is heating up. So
okay, but it's probably not this week.
They have dropped a lot of indictments on Friday afternoons.
Ooh, yeah.
So it is possible that they're just gonna totally blow up everybody's week at like 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow and just be like, here you go, some like light weekend reading. It could also be that the next part of this fight is actually getting it public, because they've laid the predicate for it not being made public. Like in Barr's testimony, he did not commit to making it public. So that could be the next stage of the fight. But
we would still have the announcement that it was finished, right?
I don't know for sure.
Well, speaking of indictments, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Ah,
did I say that last name right?
Fuck that guy. Yeah, you did.
Oh my God, he's the worst.
So the prime minister to Israel, right?
Yep.
Just got indicted on obstruction of justice and bribery.
Wait, Blake, are you telling me that a head of state was just indicted by his own government because of bribery and obstruction of justice?
Whoa.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Oh, my God.
Mind blown. I never really liked that dude.
No, he can suck it.
Oh, yeah. No. He's terrible. He's also super conservative, and he does what he can from his position, which, like, I mean, many politicians, obviously the United States does this as well, but he knows that his rhetoric will impact Zionists in the United States.
Right.
And so he makes public statements around our politics to try to affect our politics, which, like, obviously many politicians do this, but, like, it's a dirty tactic, and, like, he's doing it to be, So, for example, it was something like, and he does it to his own people too. So, like, it was something like, I think was it the second time that Obama ran? They did a study where they, like, checked everybody in the world, all countries in the world. They did, like, a study where it was like, would you vote for Obama or McCain? And fucking every single country in the entire world except Israel said Obama. And it was just like, I mean, that's very, it's very telling of his conservative
also,
politics.
Sure. The Republicans invited him to give a joint speech to Congress in April or March of 2015, heading into our election, which was a pretty political speech. And that violates a taboo among Western powers, which is to do your best to not interfere in each other's elections. Like, Obama said one thing about Brexit and it like became a little mini scandal. And so this is right. How like sensitive we are about people interfering in our elections. These are our friends and we're like, you don't get an opinion, much less a foreign adversary trying to manipulate us into electing somebody who may or may not be compromised by a hostile foreign government. But
was he the one that was caught taking? Oh no, I'm mixing him up with another politician. Anyways, we got to get back on track here. Let's start with Vietnam. Trump just got back from meeting Kim Jong Un, the dictator of North Korea, in Vietnam.
You mean the divine overlord? Yeah, of North Korea. Yeah. Okay.
The divine over. Did you guys catch some of Trump's quotes about the meeting?
I watched the press conference.
So somebody brought up, and I think it was in that press conference, whether Trump asked if Kim Jong-un knew how poorly that American prisoner was treated. Kim Jong-un strongly, powerfully said he had no idea.
Yeah, so it was Otto Warmbier, I think is how you pronounce his last name.
The American.
And he was tortured to death by the North Korean regime. It was a major controversy when it happened. He was returned to the United States with major brain damage and was later later died. And then Trump absolved Kim of any kind of responsibility for that and said something like, I don't know, their prisons are tough, which is bullshit. That's not the American president's foremost duty is to protect the citizens of the United States. And he is not doing that because he's buddy-buddy with a dictator. Also, you know what's really...
trying to be buddy-buddy with a dictator.
Well, I think he's being pretty successful at it. But the thing I find really interesting is when he's at home, he's like, we can't have socialism, rah, AOC. And then when he's in North Korea, he's like, they're going to be an economic powerhouse. And you're like... you know that communism is worse than socialism, right? Especially when it comes to, like, economic development. So I don't think you either understand economics or understand the facts on the ground about what North Korea is.
I think his angle is he's just coming around the circle from the right instead of around the circle from the left.
Right.
Well, he's also – well, I get what you mean, Blake. That makes sense. No, that makes sense. But I think he's also just saying whatever he needs to say to appease. He's trying to like make a deal, right? So he's like trying to like just like say nice things, I think, often. But if anything, we show by the summit falling apart is that he's not very good at making deals.
Well, and also the wall,
their
right?
Their dinner ended early, right?
They canceled the signing ceremony. Because they came into the summit thinking that something was going to be signed. And I guess there was something about like menus being laid out and then there never being dinner served. I don't know. The point is that
sounds
there was
like
supposed
something
to
would
be
happen
a...
in North Korea.
I said, right.
Yeah. Menus being laid out and then no food. Sounds like something that would happen in North Korea.
Yep. So yeah, it's interesting that Trump is terrible at making deals. He obviously has not made this one and continues to give away things that America or that Kim wants. One of the biggest things that Kim wants is validation of the legitimacy of his regime, and the American president speaking kindly of him going to Vietnam to meet with him validates that regime, and that's a major win in and of itself for North Korea. And we got nothing for it. We got literally nothing for it. In fact, we got less than nothing because it's freaking out our allies, which is a major problem for us.
Yeah.
About how our last meeting ended.
Yeah. It's not my plan. I think, John, you make a good point that it's, you know, his actions are also not in the interest of the American people. And like, especially with like a good example is of the person who was killed because of the torture in North Korea. But that also goes in line with what Cohen said in his opening statements of the testimony, that America, that Trump really has no interest in, you know, the American people or the country at large.
Are you saying that America First wasn't something that he felt deeply?
interesting. I don't know.
I think Trump's wallet first.
Yeah, it's
probably more accurate.
It's always Donald Trump first, which is sad. So it looks like the deal fell apart. There's actually some intrigue and controversy here. Trump said that the deal fell apart because North Korea wanted full sanctions relief for partial denuclearization. Now, we need to pause here and say, when we say denuclearization, we mean North Korea, and North Korea alone gives up all of their nuclear weapons. When North Korea says denuclearization, it means we give up our nuclear weapons. The United States retreats from the Korean peninsula and guarantees no use of force against North Korea. So these things are very different, right? But Trump said that they demanded full sanctions relief for partial denuclearization, and then North Korea came out and said they only wanted partial sanctions relief. It could be that they wanted, you know, 98% relief, essentially, and Trump just called it all, and they were like, it's not actually all. The ironic thing here, it seems that they have like basically agreed to continue to talk, which is probably the best outcome we could have hoped for, because the other outcomes likely are, one, we greatly escalate tensions, possibly leading to war, or two, Trump negotiates a terrible deal and we give a lot of shit away. So just by kicking the ball down the road, kicking the can down the road, moving the ball forward, I mix those metaphors. it probably is actually the best outcome we could have hoped for, which is hilarious because that's the timeline we live in.
There were four American reporters that were trying to be present at that meeting. It was the dinner meeting, right? That they were denied entry, or was it the meeting prior to that?
I don't know.
So at some point, I think it was the dinner meeting, there was American journalists that were trying to get in there and interview, or at least like watch what was happening, and they were denied entry. Do we know if there was anybody at any of the meetings that was taking notes, or like an American translator? Was this more of like a Putin one-on-one kind of?
I doubt that. I doubt that. I'm pretty sure that there probably were, and if there weren't, we will likely hear about it soon, because somebody will be like, "I wasn't allowed in." Someone will leak. There's so many leaks. Someone will leak that. But I think that I don't think that Trump has the relationship with Kim that he does with Putin, in terms of just like personally, like he's trying to buddy up with Kim, but I don't think that honestly he's. I mean, he's not savvy enough with Putin, but for some reason he feels really comfortable with him. And I think that Trump thinks he understands Putin and Russia, but I think that for all of his grandiosity, I think even Trump has some sort of awareness that he doesn't understand what's going on with North Korea and Kim.
There was...
That's my assessment of it.
Who was the Russian government official that was in Korea or Vietnam?
Lavrov.
Yeah. What do you guys think was up with that? Do you think he was just kind of checking on things? I feel like Russia's got a and Putin specifically has a bigger hand in all of this, when we realize, and maybe even some relation with North Korea that we should probably be considering.
I think that it's suspicious, but I also think that this line of inquiry is going to be nothing but speculation.
Here we go. Russia says it's helping guide U.S. on North Korea talks 2 days ago.
Of course it does, because they're the world power now.
Oh, it was just, I think it's just the news in Russia saying that.
Yeah, exactly. That's because they're just trying to show they're just trying to flex to their own people. I don't know. I agree with John. This is a lot of speculation here. We can keep talking about this, but I think the Cohen testimony has a lot of juiciness that we should get into.
Yeah, let's move on to the Cohen testimony. Anyways, I'm glad that we're all still alive and we didn't have a nuclear fallout after that.
Yeah, and let's hope that India and Pakistan keep their shit together. All right.
Yeah,
that's another one. That's another topic.
Yeah. So, in any other time, two nuclear armed countries shooting at each other would be lights, sirens, four alarm fire. And right now, it's like at best a third story.
Yeah.
Which is not good. That tells us the kind of place we're living in right now. But. To provide us a little bit of a transition, I thought that there wasn't that much interesting things regarding Russia in the Cohen testimony. One of the things that was really interesting was that Cohen denied ever being in Prague, which is an assertion made in the Steele dossier, and it is an important fact in knowing the validity of the Steele dossier and the sequence of events leading up to the election. And that's really interesting. Yeah.
Wasn't there some intelligence information months ago that said his cell phone was picked up in the Czech Republic at that same time?
I remember some kind of report about that, but I don't remember the details.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that the thing is that if Cohen lies about anything from here on out, that's further crimes.
Right. He's going.
So I think that
if he's already in it so deep, the whole point for him right now is that he's doing this to reclaim his voice, I guess. He got caught up lying. So he's trying to justify himself by doing these hearings, right?
I mean, that's
prove his honesty.
Yes, I guess. The thing I was going to say is that if he lies more now, he's going to be charged with further crimes. So that goes to his legitimacy as a witness. I think that adds to his credibility as a witness. So yeah. I believe him that he wasn't in Prague at this point, which is interesting. However, I don't think that that is the thing we should be focusing on. I think that generally speaking, we are way too focused on the question of collusion or not. Cohen's testimony. So Trump gave written testimony to Mueller that he didn't know anything about WikiLeaks. Cohen, it seems, just contradicted that, which is a crime. So that's more the important thing here, I think, not Russia, but it's the other crimes that Trump is involved in, like election campaign finance with the Stormy Daniels situation or obstruction of justice.
Yeah. And Cohen said, he flat out said, I don't know if there's collusion with Russia. I have my suspicions. And he told a story about Donald Trump Jr. coming in and speaking to Trump, being like the meetings and like a low voice, like the meeting set. And Trump's like, good, like we're back. And he's like, in retrospect, like that could have been what they were talking about. And he gave up some other examples, but he straight up was like, I don't know. I don't know about that. So I agree, John, that it's like, there's some evidence there, but I also agree that it is a little bit overblown. Like, it's a little bit like, it's a little bit, I mean, I could just use a very easy analogy TV show, but like, It's just like, it's like, ooh, that would be really, what a twist. What if the president was actually in collusion with a foreign government? But like the more like boring, tedious stuff is also like not as exciting, like campaign finance shit, although it does involve a porn star, so slightly more exciting. while a little bit more boring, is just as important, especially in terms of him getting removed from office, right? Or at least impeached.
Mm, yeah. There's a lot of different crimes that the Trump administration has potentially committed. So I guess it's just a matter of waiting to see what comes out. So Tuesday and Thursday, those hearings were all closed, so not open to the public. And I think that there were more of like that Russia talk involved in that, wasn't there?
Yes. So that was the Intelligence Committee. And so it, that's why it was closed door. And yeah, that is more of the Russia stuff.
And so it makes me wonder what exactly they have to talk about. If I guess they have plenty of questions that maybe can help them lead them to the right answer, them being the Intelligence Committee. But if Cohen is flat out like, I don't know if Russia was involved, it makes me wonder how much more he does know.
It's true. We don't really know. But the Intelligence Committee, right, could have other information. And like, in the same way that if Cohen was talking about, like, I overheard that meeting, like, well, we don't know what they were referring to, right? But he might have a receipt of something, be like, that he doesn't know is related, right? But just because of his proximity and access to Donald Trump, he might have information that out of context doesn't seem relevant to him, but maybe the Intelligence Committee has, you know. It could be something like that, but we won't really know, right? And I don't think we'll know anytime soon.
So maybe they know something that Cohen doesn't, and Cohen has that little bit of information that would help them connect the dot.
Yeah, but he brought the receipts for lots of other things. I think my favorite one on the internet was Cohen dropping receipts longer than CVS. but it's true. He brought a lot of stuff. I mean, I think the most damning were the checks written to him from Donald Trump's personal bank account while Donald Trump was president that he claims are to reimburse him for paying off Stormy Daniels. Like, that's pretty bad. Like, why are you paying this guy so much money, you know, from your personal bank account while you're president?
Can we pause on that real quick?
Yeah.
So one of the things, let's assume it's not a crime, just 'cause, right? The reason why campaign finance laws exist is so that the American people can make an informed decision. And that's why this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are like, who cares? He paid off a porn star about a personal relationship that two consenting adults had. And I agree with that. The problem, though, is that when you run for public office, your life becomes public property. And so the American people have the right to make an informed decision about your quality of character. And in the lead up to the election, where we have the All Access Hollywood tape, this becomes extremely relevant in the American people's ability to make an informed decision about the person who's going to control all of their nuclear weapons. So that's why this is a big deal, even if it's not a crime. Even if it is not like against the law books, it's still a really big deal because the American people were defrauded by, quote, a con man, as Cohen calls Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Really good point, John. Like, it's about more than just, it's a similar thing with like tax returns, right? I mean, it's a little bit different, but it's in terms of than campaign finance, but it's the similar concept. That like, well, we should know what we're signing up for here, right? Like, you know, what are we getting ourselves into? I thought also his talk about him having to like threaten his like high school and college and stuff to like not leak his grades or SAT scores or anything. Thought that was fucking hilarious and telling. Like,
release the ACT scores.
Yeah, ACT scores now. It's just like the dude is so fucking such a megalomaniac and just so ego driven. It's just like Dude, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess it's hard for me to say exactly, but, like, I don't think I would give a shit if, like, if it was, like, I had bad grades in high school, and, like, I was, like, running. Like, who fucking cares? You know what I mean? As if grades measure a person, but he clearly has some fucking, like, complex around that, because he really values it.
He claims he's a genius, but he won't release his test grades, which I find interesting.
It's like, dude, just take a page out of Kanye's book and just be like, I'm on another fucking you're friends with Kanye. You could probably call up Kanye and he would come to your office and just like give you his like just be Kanye and you learn. Like, just declare you're a genius and just say you're on some other shit so that no one can be like, well, grades don't matter because I'm on some other shit, and people would just believe you. But it's not about that. He has a complex around like wanting to be something that he's not, yeah. You know?
I think Lincoln calculated that he had a total of 1 year of formal schooling. So
I believe it.
Yeah. So like, it doesn't matter that much. Calm down. Like, we all understand that you're extremely insecure about this, but like, it'll feel better if you pull off the Band-Aid. I promise.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Totally. Only that Band-Aid's been on there his whole life. So you do not want to see what's underneath that thing.
I mean, let's be honest. What we're talking about here are daddy issues, right? That's Tim. Like, totally. Basically, it's like, daddy didn't give me a hug, and now we're here.
Said it before, I'll say it again. Patriarchy and fascism go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's a guy on the bus yesterday yelling about tyranny and freedom, and he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat. I was like,
oh man, you should have just gone and punched him in the face and been like, freedom, I'm free to punch you in the face, right? That's how it works. Right? No, because we have rules.
So speaking of tax returns 5 minutes ago,
yeah,
AOC had an excellent line of questioning.
Yes.
She could have gotten up there and grandstanded and whatever. Instead, she laid the predicate for us to subpoena the tax returns, which was either genius or coordinated by the leadership or both. I suspect both, because it was a great, like, I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine that Democrats on the committee kind of coordinate a little bit. And it was interesting that that late in the day, I think she was the third last person or the second to last person on the Democrats, that we would get to the tax returns, which seemed really important. But she had a really good line of questioning that was substantial. It was basically like, okay, so you have to value the Trump, you have to value Trump organization. Mr. Cohen, would you say that they valued themselves differently if they were looking for, like, let's say, what was it? It was like insurance versus a loan. You like inflate your wealth if you want a loan, but you deflate it for insurance. So those two things are different. So we need to see the tax returns to see what they actually are, right? And Cohen was like, yes. And so that is not like, we want to see the tax returns because angry Democrats. It was because there's an inconsistency here in the public record that we have to get at. And so it was a really smart line of questioning regarding, I think, one of the single most important things we can possibly do, which is get those fucking tax returns. Get those tax returns, baby. Get them. I want them. I want them so bad. I think on like one of the first podcasts, I was like, we have to get the tax returns.
Oh my God. Coming full circle. Coming full circle. Well, that's good groundwork. And John, who would Congress would subpoena for the tax returns?
The Ways and Means Committee, baby. I'm pretty sure one of those committees has full right to subpoena whoever's tax returns they want to, whenever the fuck they want to. So right now, I think I suspect that Nancy Pelosi is actually playing 11-dimensional chess or whatever dimension we're up to now. And so I think that there's a narrative they're building here. Like, if you notice, for example, who's it? Henry Weissman, I think, is the guy's name. I might be making that up. The guy who was the CFO of the Trump organization, Cohen mentioned him a bunch. Everybody was like, well, sounds like we need to get him to testify. He's going to be called. So I think that what the Democrats are doing right now is they're building a narrative, and that narrative is either building toward – well, it's probably building towards impeachment or the election or both, honestly, depending on the situation.
Right. On how fast it moves.
Right.
Yeah, because at this point, I'm a little bit less fully on the impeachment bandwagon because I think that it would be – I don't think that there's enough time to impeach him before the 2020 election, and I think that impeachment would only help him in the election.
Yeah, I think the move is to try to get him not to run for re-election.
But
yeah.
But what if – I mean, what would that take to demotivate him from running? I mean, the dude is very power hungry. And...
Well, I think – I think that this might be the thing, actually. I think it's a really good point, Blake, but I think that John's is sort of saying that. Like, what if we get his grades and his fucking tax returns and be like, yo, we're going to drop this on the public right now. Like, what if Nancy Pelosi's like, I'm going to drop that shit. I'm going to release that after they subpoena it, right? They see what it is. Like, right. Now I'm not saying exactly, but not exactly. It doesn't have to be exactly that. But things enough that, like, you have to hit him at the personal level, right? You have to get into his psychosis and understand the things that he really doesn't want to happen. You know, that it's going to underline, I don't know, it's like undermine his like masculinity.
Indicting
or,
the kids. Well, indicting the kids.
The kids, totally. Right, exactly. Right. Go for the mob mentality, yeah.
But then you have to think also how he's going to think about the situation, which is, yes, those are all really serious things, and yes, you might have to deal with them, but is it going to be easier to deal with those as president or not as president? So, for example, if his kids do get indicted and he is still president, he can give them a pardon if it's on the federal level. If he doesn't rerun and he doesn't get reelected and he doesn't become president, he won't be able to, you know, pardon them. That's one avenue there. Next, if his tax returns are released, who gives a fuck if he's still president for another 4 years, you know, while he tries to solidify his permanent presidency, I guess is what I'm getting at. He might have the mentality of, it doesn't really fucking matter because I'm going to be president for again.
So
like 4 years.
He could either say, I'm not going to run.
And he's dumb enough to like believe that and run.
Maybe. So he could say, I'm not going to run and then pardon the kids. And then not resign, but say, I'm not going to run. He could resign and as part of that deal, Pence pardons everybody. Also, the tax returns could matter a shit ton because the Trump organization is a fake organization. What I mean by that is they don't produce things. You know, like Apple produces computers. The Trump organization is a marketing
foundation, right? Or organization.
No, the organization. The company itself is a marketing company. So that means that the value of their company is based on the value of their company, right?
It's a brand. Yeah, it's a brand.
Yeah, it's a brand. And so that brand is, we make you rich. Right?
Yeah.
What if the tax returns come out and he's not a billionaire? What does that do to the value of his company? It craters it because then there's actually no value being produced. So it could be extremely dangerous for him. And I think it's the fact that we haven't seen them yet is the biggest deal to me.
So it's not the tax returns being released that would cause him to not run again. It's the fact that they're dangling them in front of him saying, hey, we can release those and we will release them if you run again. Is that what you're saying? It's more of a...
I'm saying that could be... I mean, that's possible. I'm not saying that is what's happening. I'm saying that's a possibility of what's happening. And I think that actually, and this is building off of what Tyler said, I think that Trump has an escape route, which is everybody's mean to me. Nobody's fair to me, that I'm a successful businessman. This isn't worth my fucking time. I'm not running again. And that would allow him to save face.
Yeah.
It's basically like, I'm not breaking up with you, or you're not breaking up with me. I'm breaking up with you. And
totally.
And so I think that would allow him to save face. And then let's be honest, he can sit in his fucking bed and eat his hamburgers and throw rocks at the next president on Twitter, and everybody in the world will be happier.
Yeah. Yep. I'm just a little concerned though, that he's a little more power hungry than that. You know, it's kind of like, what do you want, money or power? Which one? And I think Trump has never really had money and now he has power. And I'm afraid that, you know, he's willing to let all that go to try and stay in office.
I don't think that's the case.
After his comment that he made about Kim Jong-un, like, you know, about his people standing at attention, I don't know. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
He's got fascist tendencies and you know, but it doesn't mean that he's not impacted by, like, people have fascist tendencies because they're like egomaniacs and megalomaniacs and have these issues. And so there's still ways to like push the right buttons, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, we'll see. Can we talk about Mark Meadows getting called a racist and then freaking out?
Yes.
For like 10 minutes.
The dude who's like, I'm not racist. Like, bro, you told Obama to go back to Kenya, dude. Like that. Yeah. Like that alone.
Yeah. Also, she wasn't calling you a racist. She was saying what you did was racist. And right, like exactly. Those things are different.
And then his like first defense was, I have so many black friends, which is also racist.
Well, he was like, Elijah Cummings is my best friend. And Elijah Cummings actually like came to his defense, which I did find nice in this era of hyper partisanship. It was nice to see like two partisans being like humans to one another. And so I found it to be a rather human moment. We can definitely lampoon the shit out of it, but I think it was like a pretty clear demonstration of like how we talk past each other in America about race, because, you know, he stood up that lady and was like, Donald Trump has a black friend, so he's not a racist. And you're like, okay, well, tokenism is a form of racism. And so that's not good. We're not saying that you're a terrible person, but we're saying that that act was racist. And then he's like, you called me a racist. Strike it from the record. Tears. And you're like, okay, calm down. Like, take some criticism. I know it was tough, but also, like, don't do that if you're not willing to get some blowback from it. But I think it was symbolic of the way that we talk past each other, not to each other. And it was a little disappointing to watch. And I hope that Elijah Cummings can like pull him aside and be like, bro, this is why it was racist. But I understand you like not being happy about getting called out in public about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like witnessing the highest levels of white fragility is always a funny thing to witness. It's just funny. It's just ironic to see that, or it's telling to see that being where the conversation is, right? Like we can all, I think, on this podcast, all of us as white people acknowledge that we do racist things sometimes. We're not bigots who hate people of color. We're just trained this way and we're trying to undo that. Okay, I think we all understand that. But like the leaders of the country white leaders of the country don't understand that. So of course the constituents who are electing them are not gonna understand that, right? It just like places like where we are still in this country out of the conversation. But I think it also places that someone could call out someone, a person of color could call out a congressperson of color could call it a white congressperson. That also is a statement of how far we've come also, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like a little bit of both of like, oh, so much work to be done. And like, let's not forget that they're like, this is different. You know, this wouldn't have happened even probably 10 years ago. Right.
Yeah. Progress.
Yeah.
Progress.
Yeah. Oh, say that, Kelly. Don't say that word. Kelly will kill you.
Well, progress is a terrible fucking word. It's a terrible non-descriptive word that everybody uses for every different thing, which makes it devoid of any kind of meaning.
Yeah, in the ebb and flow, maybe we're in the flow. Who knows?
Ooh. Speaking of ebb and flow, this is my last note for the conversation. Did you guys hear that the universe is expanding at a faster rate than we anticipated?
I did. We're going to all die in ice, not in fire, turns out.
I know. This is my last contribution to the conversation. Oakland teachers are striking right now, everybody. And it's a super big deal, obviously, out here in the East Bay. But it also matters for everybody else because there have been lots of teacher strikes over the last year.
We just had ours, yeah.
Yep, there was just one in Colorado. There was, Denver County Schools?
I think so.
And then LA just had a big one. Sacramento is starting to like think about it. So actually what they're starting to consider out here now is a statewide teacher strike in California, which if California did it, like that would trigger probably a bunch of other ones around the country. And I was on the picket line this morning. It was just super inspiring. It's like, y'all, they don't, like, teachers don't get paid fucking anything, and they are doing that job because they care about students. And the fucking, like, narrative of, like, go back to work that some people feel about this shit, or, like, you don't really care about the students, is, like, the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because, one, I don't know if you know, but when you're striking, you don't get paid. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's how that shit works. So it's, like, they're not getting paid, but they're still showing up every fucking morning outside of their schools to picket. They're not just, like, doing nothing, okay? And so I, first of all, just wanted to spell all that because that's so annoying. And then also just, like, really honor that, like, the teachers are really standing up for the students. They're demanding, on top of demanding an increase in their own pay, they're also demanding a hard cap on, class sizes, as well as increased budget for restorative justice, for, students of color. And so, like, these are really powerful things that are going to serve the students. Just keep an eye on it, folks in other parts of the country. If you're out here, go join a picket. It's like, check the Oakland Educational Association's Facebook page. But it's as long as the strike's still going, which we hope it ends soon. But it's they're picketing every morning from like 6:30 to 10 a.m. So go join, and also put pressure on the Unified School District of Alameda, Unified School District of Oakland, the board of education, because you know they're dragging their feet and playing dirty a little bit. So
you can tell that they put some thought into that, because classroom size is something that I think gets overlooked a lot.
Totally.
And an uneducated society is an undemocratic society. So I would like to leave us with this quote from Elijah Cummings' conclusion to the Cohen testimony. When we're dancing with the angels, the question will be asked, in 2019, what did we do to make sure we kept our democracy intact? Did we stand on the sidelines and say nothing? Godspeed, everybody.
Sign us off.